Welcome to Air Talk on 89.3 KBCC. I'm Libby Denkman, in for Larry Mantle today. Coming up in about 25 minutes, infectious disease expert Dr. Peter Chin Hong will take your coronavirus questions live, and you can send us questions ahead of time right now on kbcc.org, Twitter, or our Facebook page. But up first, COVID-19 has hit low-income renters the hardest. And while evictions have been put on hold, the rent will eventually come due for hundreds of thousands of California households now buried in rent debt. There's an urgent deadline looming at the end of the week when the state's eviction moratorium ends. Governor Newsom and Democratic leaders in the legislature have agreed to a deal to extend that eviction freeze until the end of June. And we're going to get deals on that program in just a minute. But many observers say it falls far short of what is needed. So this hour, I'll be talking about the problem of rental debt during the pandemic and options for rent relief. Some advocates want elected leaders to cancel rent. But what does that actually look like, and what kinds of support would be most effective for the people who are in need right now? Right now on the line, I have one of the lawmakers who has been working on this deal. He's Assemblymember Jesse Gabriel, Democratic representing the 45th District, which includes Calabasas, Sherman Oaks, and Northridge here in Southern California. And he's a member of the State Assembly's Committee on Housing and Community Development. Hi, Assemblymember Gabriel. Thank you very much for being on Air Talk today.
Hi, Libby. It's good to be with you.
So right now we have the eviction moratorium at the state level. There's also a federal rule in place. It was due to expire in California on Sunday. Lawmakers at the state level have made this deal. Can you explain exactly what's happening with the federal money that's coming in for rent relief in California and what renters can expect out of this deal?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are going to take action hopefully tomorrow on a new deal that we've reached here in Sacramento to extend the eviction protections to June 30th. As you noted, they were set to expire in a few days, so we were feeling a big sense of urgency to extend those. And then we also have about $2.6 billion in federal money that is coming into the state, which we're going to use to create a rent subsidy program to help pay off rent debt that has accrued for a lot of our tenants. Under federal eligibility rules, it's really targeted most at our lowest income renters and at communities that have been hardest hit by COVID-19. But the idea here is obviously to stabilize folks, to prevent mass evictions or a tidal wave of evictions, which would just be really unacceptable and obviously could have terrible consequences for homelessness and could be an issue of life and death during a pandemic. But beyond that, beyond just preventing evictions in the short run, to really make sure that folks aren't buried under a mountain of debt that they're never going to be able to get out of. And so we're going to use these federal resources and target them to help pay off the rent that's due for a lot of folks.
So the Legislative Analyst's Office, the California State Legislative Analyst's Office, has estimated that it's about $400 million collectively that California renters owe through December of last year. That's down from a much larger estimate out of Philadelphia. The Federal Reserve investigators there had made an estimate of $1.7 billion in rent debt in California. But $400 million is certainly a huge mountain to climb, and it's only getting wider as people continue to be out of work because of the pandemic. So what exactly will happen now with this rent stabilization money that's coming through from the federal government? Renters will still be on the hook for 25% of their rent, correct, Assemblymember, just like they have been throughout this this eviction moratorium?
Yeah, that is correct. And I'll just say one thing. And one of the challenges here is that we've, as you noted, there are really a lot of different estimates about the magnitude of the rent debt that's out here and how many folks might be at risk. You know, the Legislative Analyst's Office, as you said, said that they thought that there was about $400 million owed. I've seen and heard of estimates as high as $4 billion in terms of rent that's out there. So it's really, that's part of the challenge. But we obviously want to take a really aggressive approach here in protecting folks and keeping folks housed. So as you noted, what's required to have these protections through June 30th is that folks pay 25% of the rent owed, and that can either be on a monthly basis or it can be in a lump sum payment by June 30th. But part of the way that this program works is that there is money going to be available for for landlords. And so if they're willing to accept 80% of the unpaid rent, then they will be paid through this program, through the state administered program, and that will leave folks without any unpaid rent obligation. And if for some reason a landlord doesn't want to accept this program, then the state will pay that 25% of unpaid rent for them. So under either scenario, regardless of whether a landlord accepts the deal and takes 80% of the rent or doesn't accept the deal and insists on 100%, either way, the state is stepping in to keep folks housed through June 30th.
But this still puts it on the landlord, right, to make the decision whether or not to take that deal. And there might be some landlords who say, I want to go to court, I want to get the full amount, or even use this situation maybe to push a renter out of their unit because the renter just doesn't want to have to go through the process of defending themselves against against that debt collection, right?
That is correct. A couple of things I would note here that I think are important to understand about this. First of all, there's very strong financial incentives in here for the landlord to accept the deal, right? I mean, they can get 80% of the rent due. They're clearly going to get that money. In this time of uncertainty, I think that's a deal probably a lot of landlords are going to want to take. There's also baked into this a whole series of very strong tenant protections, additional tenant protections, and also some incentives that I think will discourage a lot of landlords from wanting to go to court and fight it out for that additional 20%. There's a cap on attorney's fees. There's an opportunity to limit damages. It prohibits late fees. So there's a lot of things in here that I think are going to provide some strong incentives for landlords to take this deal and to accept the 80%. And then on top of that, everybody acknowledges that there's more work to be done, that this is just one step in the process. It's one piece of the puzzle. The legislature is going to monitor this very closely. We're going to get monthly reports on how the program is working, how many landlords are accepting this, how many folks are being helped by the program. And if we need to take further action, we're certainly going to be able to do that. And part of the way that this is structured is that it protects folks until June 30th. But we will likely pass our state budget. We're required to pass our state budget prior to then. And so we will have a lot of opportunity to, if we need to, make adjustments or tweaks to this program, provide additional protections to tenants, provide, there's already conversation about additional federal resources. The Biden administration has proposed an additional $25 billion in their American Rescue Plan. So there's a lot of moving pieces here. The important thing for us in the legislature was that this deadline was expiring in a few days. We felt the need to take urgent action. And so we've done that to really protect folks through June 30th. And if we need to step up and do more, I think there's a broad consensus that folks are prepared to do that.
That's Assemblymember Jesse Gabriel you're hearing right now. He's a Democrat who represents areas of Los Angeles, like at least Northwest Los Angeles County, Calabasas, Sherman Oaks, Northridge. And he's a member of the State Assembly's Committee of Housing and Human Development. And I want to hear from you if you're a renter who is struggling during this pandemic. 866-893-5722 is our call-in number. Again, 866-893-5722. Or if you're a landlord looking at this deal that the state has struck to give 80% of the rent that is due, if you have tenants who are in arrears in their rent, I want to hear from you what you think about this deal. Again, 866-893-5722 is the phone number. You can also tweet us at AirTalk, comment on our Facebook page, a lot of ways to connect. On the line with me is Shanti Singh, a communications and legislative director for Tenants Together, a statewide coalition of local tenant organizations for renters' rights. Welcome, Shanti. And can you just paint a picture, first of all, before reacting to this deal? What is the problem like right now in California? It feels really hard to wrap our arms around this because we don't have great data on how precisely big the debt is and how many people are facing eviction right now, do we?
Yeah, no, I mean, like Assemblymember Gabriel said and pointed out, estimates vary. I would say that the Legislative Analyst Office is the most lowball estimate. No offense to them, but when we're looking at, not just the Philly Fed, when we're looking at the fact that, I think Moody's Analytics said something about, 12 million renters in America owing $6,000 each before the holidays. And also looking at, the fact that at least based off of some provisional census data, the 2 million households, renter households in California had little to no confidence in paying their January rent in full. I would argue that that's a lot bigger, but yeah, data is hard to find. And like, that is really, you know, it's really difficult because I think we all realize what the magnitude of the crisis that's going on around us, but it's hard when you can't pin it down to reliable numbers. That can be difficult. But, you know, regardless, it's huge. And especially for legal aid organizations, tenant organizations, like the 50 California organizations that we represent in attendance together on the ground, our own counseling hotline is at a all time high that we've never been at in 13 years of being around. So, I mean, this is an enormous crisis and one that I don't think we've experienced in our lifetimes.
And can you clear up what exactly is happening on the ground in terms of, are evictions going forward for reasons like a landlord thinks that a tenant is, damaging property? Or, I mean, evictions can go forward for other reasons, just not for unpaid rent right now, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think I do have to say, like, you know, I mean, I always try to be cautious about when I'm using the word eviction moratorium, because I don't want to communicate. I don't want to tell people that there's no evictions happening, because it's the opposite situation. Right. We have Ellis Act evictions. We have no fault evictions. We have cases where no fault and nuisance evictions are kind of being sort of issued. I would argue spuriously or fraudulently, in the sense that, you know, landlords who know that they cannot evict by specifying the reason as inability to pay rent or finding other mechanisms. We're seeing an uptick in illegal lockouts, which is just people having their stuff thrown out. That's disproportionately, especially in Los Angeles, impacting Black and Latino communities almost exclusively. We're seeing rent hikes where people know that, you know, their tenant can't really afford a rent hike right now. Or we're seeing lease terminations. There are lots and lots and lots of mechanisms for displacement that are still available beyond the scope of the laws in place. And that's not an offense to the laws in place, but I mean, that's just the reality. And sure, that's been going on this whole time.
So what does your organization make of the deal that's coming out of the legislature, this offer of procuring 80% from the federal government to cover unpaid rent for landlords, and therefore, you know, extending the eviction protection for renters who are struggling? What do you make of it?
I mean, we think it's a good start, and we're glad to have, you know, folks like Assemblymember Gabriel pushing hard for tenants in the legislature. But, you know, there are a lot of tenants, you know, unfortunately, I have to say, who are going to fall through the cracks, because, you know, we there's a lot more that we need to do. But we do think that, you know, I mean, I hope that every landlord looks at this and says, well, I'm getting 80% of my back rent funded in exchange for 20% forgiveness, I'm going to participate in this program. But the fact remains, we know that many won't. We know that harassment and other issues will continue. And, you know, for a tenant, if your landlord does not participate in this program, then you can get 25% of your rent compensated, but you're still saddled with a tremendous amount of debt, and you still have the other 75%. You can't nominally be evicted on that, but you could be evicted by other means. So there's a lot of different moving pieces here that we still need to fix. And our concerns are about who's going to fall through the cracks between now and June, and who already has between September and today. So, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, a lot of work to be done.
That's Shanti Singh with Tenants Together on the line with me. I'm also talking with Assemblymember Jesse Gabriel, a Democrat from Encino, who is part of the Assembly's Committee on Housing and Community Development. He helped in talks for this deal that's coming out from Governor Newsom and legislative Democrats to extend the eviction moratorium through June, and then also funnel federal money to landlords to help with back rent that their tenants may be owing in order to kind of stabilize the situation as COVID continues to keep people out of work. And a lot of people are missing rent payments as a result. Also on the line with me is Deborah Carlton, Executive Vice President of State Public Affairs for the California Apartment Association. That's the statewide trade group that represents owners, investors, developers, managers, and suppliers of rental homes and apartment communities. Hi, Deborah. Can you share with me what your members are thinking about this deal?
Good morning, Libby, and thank you for having me. I have to say that Assemblymember Jesse Gabriel was spot on in his explanation of this legislation. I will tell you that we had to have this legislation. We had to have a continuation. We certainly want to make sure that we keep tenants in place, that those tenants who have been unable to pay. But we also need to make sure that landlords get, obviously, some of these federal dollars that are being offered. Some of the landlords have not been paid, and come March, it'll be over a year. So that is very unfortunate because, of course, many of these owners are going to lose their homes, and that means tenants are going to lose housing as well. So we cannot have that happen. So bottom line is this bill or package is absolutely necessary.
In the meantime, while these landlords maybe are missing rent payments because of the pandemic, have they been able to apply for PPP loans or any other kind of mortgage relief from the federal government, Deborah?
No. Single lease rental property owners were not eligible for PPP dollars. I know we saw maybe some management companies that were, but that had to be, that money had to go to pay staff when it came to management companies, but landlords themselves were not eligible for funding. So this is the first time we're seeing some true dollars go for unpaid rent. There may have been, and I know we saw in Los Angeles, some smaller amounts and pots of money, but that didn't even come close to some of the unpaid rent.
Mm. What do you think is in terms of how your membership will respond? Do you expect most landlords to take this deal, or do you see some people deciding that, you know, they want to go and try to recoup 100% of the back rent instead of just 80%?
Well, we should be very clear. This bill has so many disincentives, if not flat out mandates. The landlord has to participate. The assembly member was correct in saying that there are so many disincentives. In other words, if a landlord tries to evict a tenant and has not agreed to participate in this program, they will not be able to evict and they won't be able to get their money. It basically declares that this is a source of income that a landlord cannot discriminate against. So there's not going to be landlords saying no, because I don't think they can.
That's Deborah Carlton with the California Apartment Association. Also on the line with me, Shanti Singh with Tenants Together and Assemblymember Jesse Gabriel, Democrat from Encino. We are talking about the new rent relief package that's coming out of Sacramento and what it means for landlords, tenants, renters. We're getting questions on the line from some of you. You can call in at 866-893-5722. That's 866-893-5722. Also, tweet us at AirTalk or go on our Facebook page to ask a question. I'm Libby Dankman, and for Larry Mantle, we'll be back in just a minute. Hey there, it's Libby Dankman in for Larry Mantle. Today, I am talking about the rent relief package that was announced by Governor Newsom this week, looking at an extension of the eviction moratorium for renters through the end of June and an additional $2.6 billion in federal money that's going to go to a stabilization program, funneling the money to landlords to recoup 80% of the back rent owed by tenants as long as they pay 25% of their rent owed. They can do that in monthly payments or in a lump sum by the end of June. Assemblymember Jesse Gabriel is on the line. He's a Democrat on the state's Assembly Committee of Housing and Community Development. And Assemblymember, I'm getting a question from Mike in Studio City who says, I'm a landlord. I'm wondering how and who are qualifying residents for these benefits. Mike says, we have high income tenants, but many of them haven't been paying, and we're not in a position to financially qualify people for how much their incomes have gone down during the pandemic. I guess he means they can't quite see or tell how much the income has been impacted. Assemblymember Gabriel, do you have any reaction to kind of a situation where a high-income tenant might be not paying?
Yeah, and I first just want to acknowledge, there are a lot of landlords that we have heard from, particularly small landlords like Mike. I mean, I was actually a little bit surprised by how much we heard from folks in the West San Fernando Valley about this, you know, people who maybe live in a duplex and, rent out one of the units. And they said, look, if my tenant isn't paying rent, I can't pay the mortgage and I'm going to be foreclosed on. So there is really a lot of sensitivity in the legislature around how hard this is for a lot of our mom and pop landlords, people who maybe own one unit and that's their retirement. So that's certainly a piece of the puzzle here. We want to protect we want to protect tenants, but we also understand that there's a lot of folks who are concerned right now, and we need to help everybody. So that is part of our approach. The eligibility for this program is based on federal eligibility rules. This is money coming from the federal government. And so it is right now capped at folks who make 80% of AMI, of area median income. So there isn't assistance in this for the most high income tenants. That's certainly something that people have talked about and looked at. But really, this relief is directed mostly at the first priority is for tenants that are below 50% of area median income, so our most low-income tenants. The second level of prioritization is for communities that have been most devastated by COVID-19. And then the third level is for folks under 80% of area median income. So really, as I mentioned, it's a federal eligibility criteria, and so it's really targeted at the most vulnerable folks and the folks who've been hit hardest by COVID.
That's Assemblymember Jesse Gabriel. Also with me is Shanti Singh with Tenants Together. Shanti, I want to get your reaction to what you're hearing so far, this conversation about the protections that are in place in this deal. A, do you think they're sufficient? And B, what more protections do you think need to be added, especially when it comes to anti-harassment laws, things like that make it so that a landlord can't get around these eviction moratoriums by using kind of the backdoor way to get somebody out of a unit?
Yeah, I mean, I think there need to be, that's a great question. I think the first thing is that, like, we totally understand that there needs to be a no fault or just cause rather eviction where, maybe like someone's health and safety is in danger, or you have, a tenant who's putting someone's health and safety in danger. But those are very, very rare cases, very, very rare among the whole. But besides of those, we really don't think that there should be any kind of speculative behavior going on during a pandemic. But unfortunately, like, we are seeing speculative behavior going on during a pandemic, as mind-boggling as that sounds. So, we need more enforcement for existing protections against rent hikes. We need more protections against rent hikes. I am flabbergasted by the amount of number of rent hikes and non-lease renewals that are coming through our hotline. We're seeing Ellis Act evictions, which again, usually is tend to be of a speculative nature in many cases.
And Ellis Act evictions, for people who aren't familiar, that's when a landlord says they're going to, quote, get out of the rental business and turn the building into condos or leave them vacant for a number of years. And that's something that is used to clear even rent-controlled units, right?
Exactly. No, thank you for explaining. And yeah, like it is, we're still seeing those. So, I mean, there are a lot of different, all those mechanisms, like, we want to see tightened, I mean, it's, and also the fact that, lease renewals is another issue. And like I said, like, we are seeing increases in rent, predatory sort of rental agreements where a tenant who can't really pay in full, right, is following the law, is paying whatever they can and trying to work with their landlord, but is having a lease or something put in front of them where it's like, well, I know that you've lost income, but I'm going to put successive rent increases before you, and you need to sign this agreement or you're out. So that's another thing we're seeing a lot of, unfortunately.
I want to take a quick call here before we end the segment. Kate in Toluca Lake is on the line, and it sounds like, Kate, you might be dealing with something like an Ellis Act eviction process. What are you facing here?
Our landlord's trying to get us out with what's called cash for keys, to get us out of the building for an Ellis Act. But we're still protected under most of these ordinances. Is this new protection going to continue to cover us under no-fault eviction, such as Ellis Act?
Yeah, let's try to get an answer on that. Assemblymember Gabriel, do you have any response to Kate's question? Will she be protected in this cash for keys situation under the extension?
Yeah, so all of the existing protections that were already built into law should be there. And this is, obviously don't know her personal financial circumstances, but I'm guessing that this is a situation where she'd be covered by this, and this will, extend her protections through June 30th. And I should also mention, you know, some of these issues, the Ellis Act evictions and other things, are outside of the framework of this particular deal. But that doesn't mean that the legislature isn't working on them. And I know that there are a lot of my colleagues up and down the state who are very focused on housing and homelessness and tenant issues. So I think you can expect robust legislative action in that area as well. But this was really focused. You know, we had this looming deadline that is coming up in just a couple of days now. People felt such a strong sense of urgency to act, to protect people, to keep, you know, to keep them housed and to stabilize families. And so this is really, you know, the primary thrust of this is to extend that eviction moratorium for non-payment of rent through June. And to help pay back some of that back rent so we can protect folks.
A quick question before we end the segment here, Assembly Member. What about utility protections? We're hearing about water debt, other types of utility debt that's really piling up here during the pandemic.
Great question. Something that there's been a lot of discussion about here, discussion about how we're going to deal with that in the state budget. The Biden administration has also proposed an additional $5 billion for energy and water costs. So this is something that is absolutely top of mind for folks. And, you know, really having water to wash your hands is a matter of life and death in the middle of a pandemic. So people are very aware of that. We don't want folks to, you know, be saddled with huge cost there. So something I think between the federal government and the state government that we're going to focus on as well.
That's Assemblymember Jesse Gabriel, Democrat from Encino. He is a member of the state's Assembly Committee on Housing and Community Development. Shanti Singh also joined us, Communications and Legislative Director with Tenants Together. And Deborah Carlton was also a guest with us this hour, Executive Vice President of State Public Affairs for the California Apartment Association. We're going to be following this closely as the deal is passed in Sacramento to extend the eviction moratorium and also use federal money on a rent stabilization program. Thanks so much to everyone who wrote in with questions and also called in. And thanks to my guests. I'm Libby Denkman in for Larry Mantle today. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we're going to take your questions live about COVID-19, the vaccine, everything you want to know. We've got Dr. Peter Chin Hong, an infectious disease specialist, coming on to answer everything that you may be wondering about right now during this very uncertain time. Thanks again for listening to Air Talk today while Larry is away. I'll be back in a minute.